go over to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Oh my goodness, he's going to Revelation. What are we doing today? But this is familiar. Pastor's been talking about this. And thank you, Father, for utterance today, Lord. Clarity and boldness to minister your word as it should be ministered, Father. I thank you, Father, that your word should go forth with free course. It should go forth into the people's hearts right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, as they leave today, Father. Yes, you're working right now. You're working right now. You're working right now. You're working right now. But your word is doing even much more work. It's going to continue doing much more work, even as they leave this place today, Father. So I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revelations 4, verse 1 and 2 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Pastor Jay has been talking about this, about being in the spirit, being in the spirit. And it's something I've just been so blessed with, because I'm learning. And you ever learn something, you just like, oh, messed up here, you know, but yeah, you get back up again, right? You know, so when you're learning something, it's like when you're learning how to ride a bike, you may fall, but you get back up again, right? All right. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to get back up again. All right. So I'm learning. And as Pastor Jay is, he is teaching us, because he is an explorer and pioneer of things in the spirit. You know, he is showing us how to move with the word and spirit. That's what this era is, you know. And this right here, being in the spirit, is something we got to continue to maintain. We have to keep that standard in our lives. I'm reminded in Proverbs, I want to say it was a chapter, was it 20 or so? I could be wrong with the wrong chapter, but you know, you have those ancient landmarks that have been set before us, you know? And this is one of those landmarks that we need to keep before us, of being in the spirit and staying in the spirit and living in the spirit. As it says in Galatians chapter 5, you know, we are to live in the spirit. That doesn't just mean in the four walls of the church, does it? Oh, wow, that was weak. That doesn't just mean in the four walls of the church, does it? I heard over here, how about on this side of the room? That doesn't mean the four walls of the church, does it? It's, yes, in the four walls, but it's outside as well. We are. Don't you have a life outside of church? I know some of y'all. I see some of y'all on Facebook. I'm just saying, y'all got some lives outside of church. Okay, so the things that we learn here in church, that we get ministered from this pulpit, from pastors, is not supposed to stay within these four walls, is it? It's supposed to go out there. We are supposed to be living in the Spirit, by the Spirit, motivated by the Spirit, when we go to our jobs, when we go home with our kids, and our marriages, our friends, every aspect, your hobbies, every aspect. It's not supposed to be compartmentalized in one little container. No. We are to live. In the Amplified, this is verse 25 I'm talking about in Galatians. Why don't you go over there? I want you all to see this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says here, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Because it says in John chapter 4, hey, that God is a spirit and we're created in his image. So if we're created in his image, we are spirits as well. And the Bible talks about that we are a three-part being. We are a spirit that live in a body that has mind, will, and emotions. Okay? But it says we are to live in the Spirit. All right? And then Amplified in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So if you say you live by the Spirit, then you got to do it. Walk the walk. Walk the walk. Walk the walk. Yep. Yep. And it says, if by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conducts controlled by the Spirit. By the Spirit. There's another translation that says, since it's through the Spirit that we have life, let it also be through the Spirit that we order our day, order our lives day by day. Yeah. By the Spirit, we should order our lives. Yeah. You know what? There's some times where I'm like, Father, like when I'm sitting down and to figure out my schedule for the day, I ask him, hey, what should I do today? That's a practical thing to do. Wow. Asking your Heavenly Father, what should I do with my time today? Woo! Who the funk? But yeah, that's what I do, you know? And that's what we're supposed to do. Live by the Spirit. Every day. Every day. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, and Pastor said this, and I know he mentioned this before, I'm not sure which service it was, but I know he just mentioned this too about real talk. By the way, next level, real talk, by the way, okay, real talk, you know, okay, sign up, did y'all sign up this morning? Y'all sign up this morning? Y'all sign up this morning? All right, just making sure. Okay. All right, I had to put that little plug in there, you know. Just I wasn't in class this morning. You know, I was surfing. That's what I was doing with gladness. All righty. Where did I tell you all to go? Ephesians. That's right. That's right. Okay. All right. 4:17. It says here, this I say, therefore, testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And Pastor has said this before, and this is referenced in Titus, I believe it's chapter 1 or 2 or so, that we've let our culture get into our Christian. Yeah. Instead of letting our Christian get into our culture. And part of that here is Paul's talking to the church of Ephesus. He's saying here, hey, if you read verse 18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So it's saying that you had some understanding already. You had some understanding, but it got darker. It got darker. And being alienated from the life of God through an ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So there was some darkness that came that blinded them. So what they were walking in before, they were no longer walking in. So here, there's some things in which, and if you look at verse 17, it was because of the vanity of their minds. Their minds got in the way. You know, what they're feeding on, what their attention is on, what they're paying attention to, what they spend their most of the time with. What they did in their culture came in, and it came into their Christian. And because of that, even though because some people thought, well, it's not that bad, and they kept doing this and dibbling and dabbling into that, you know, and they said, oh, it's not that bad. But yet they didn't realize how it just like compounded on top of it, on top. It kept building and building and building and building until they got darker and they got blinded. And they thought, oh, that's fine. Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Yep. And one of the things that we see here in our culture, too, as well, is that it's that living by the word of God, living by his Spirit. Our culture has gone away from that. You know. Can I say something real quick? Just to wake y'all up a little bit along these lines so you can see. Because here's the thing that, you know, you know, the devil's not going to come in a pitchfork and a red suit, right? He's going to come subtly. Just ease his way in. Make it look like, oh, it's not too bad. Okay, but let's just take a look at how our culture has been, you know, has gotten in. There was a time where, back in the day, where, you know, there was priorities for going to church. There was a time where there's priorities. But if you go down the street to some of these parks on a Sunday morning, I know y'all don't know this because y'all are here, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you say, yes, yes, I'm here. I don't know what you're talking about, right? You know, you know. But if you go down to parks, you know, on Sunday mornings, guess what do you see? Oh, a ton of soccer players, a ton of people outside, and they're not in church. And then don't get me wrong. Hey, there's sports. I love sports. I like sports. I like talking about it, but there's a place to it as well. There's a place where I'm like, I'm turning off the ESPN. I'm listening to what God is saying. And it, y'all seen it. I'm not lying about it. Okay? But there's a place where it used to be a priority in people's lives. Yeah, it used to be. There's a place where, with parents. Parents used to be the parents. Parents used to be the parents. Parents never, I mean, there was a time where the parents don't ask the child, oh, do you want to go to church today? But then there's this nice subtly thing of, oh, well, I want them to choose a little bit. No, ask for me in my house. Ask for me in my house. Ask for me in my house. We will serve the Lord. You tell them who they are to be. They don't know who they want to be. One day it'll be an astronaut. Next day it'll be a truck driver. Next day it'll be a firefighter. They don't know what they want to do. There was a time where there was more respect for a police officer, a teacher, and a preacher. But yet suddenly, in the culture, it gets in there, oh, because of mistakes of a couple police officers, all of them are bad. How about you take a look at your own self? Uh-oh. You focus on what you need to do.
Come on.
We're trying to throw stones at other people, because I tell you what, if you want to air out your dirty laundry, I'm sure we don't have enough line to show it all.
Come on.
Our culture has gotten into our Christian.
Yeah.
Our culture has gotten into our Christian.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And what happens is that, you know, our culture has moved away from flowing with the Spirit, operating with Him in our natural lives. You know? And we can see this too, and don't get me wrong, I like edumacation. You know, please get some. Please get some. I like to tell my students sometimes, you know, and I don't know if I ever told Mikey this, but I say, you know, if ever, you know, this, some boy try to come talk to my daughter, he better know how to do a fraction. And I tell him this too, because a fraction a day keeps the dummies away. Because if you can't do a fraction, nope, I don't want you in my house. Go. It weeds out a lot of people, doesn't it? Please get your education. That's okay, you know. I'm sure there's probably some other stuff that, you know, you need to know too as well. So, but I probably just, you know, weeded out about a good, you know, 3/4 of the people, you know. So, and but our culture has put more emphasis on go to school, go to school, go to school, and forget about going and, you know, getting your education for your spirit. Don't get me wrong. I'm a teacher. Okay. So, you know, but it is a push to go to college, four-year college. I'm going to say something. Everybody shouldn't be going to four-year colleges. There's a way, yes, you keep progressing. You keep moving forward. You keep doing, yes, but it may not be the traditional societal way of going. A lot of people waste a lot of money, a lot of time going to four-year college. I've talked to some people before when they graduate, especially those that I work with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I always ask them this when they go to college somewhere. I always ask them this. Do you have a local church there? All the time. Because I realized when I went to the University of Michigan and I went there and I was far from my local church, I was hungry for something. I was hungry for something, and it was not getting an education of my mind. I studied too much, you know, and sometimes it wasn't effective. But it wasn't until Until a gentleman down a hall from me, he always asked me, "Hey, you want to go to church?" I say, "No, no, you want to go to church? No, no, no. I'm trying to study." That's what I said, because I would get up on a Sunday morning and I would try to study. That's usually like a prime time that people like to say, you know, to study and things like that. And that's what I want to say. And so there's a time where we're going to church dwindle. So, but I praise God for him because he stayed on me. Keith Drudy, that's his name. He stayed on me. So one day I'm like, all right, you know, you dragged me to church and stuff. I'm going, all right, I'll go. Came to this church called New Life Church at the University of Michigan. And it was a predominantly white church. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, let's get past this godforsaken music and go to the Word. I'm just saying, oh, it's a lot of bunch of guitars here and stuff like that. I grew up in Detroit. We had organ, drum, bass. Come on now, you know. We like to groove, you know, I'm just saying. and that was my flesh of what it was saying, you know. But after that first service, like, oh, this is good. I like the word. Oh, this is good. Oh, something drew. Oh, my spirit was crying out. Oh, yeah. You know, oh. And I kept coming back. Yep. You know. And, you know, I you know, got involved with the praise and worship there a little bit as well, you know. You know. And, But I realized the importance of having that local church at that university. Because what the people don't say is that all the demonic activity that goes on in some of these universities. And they suddenly go in to say, oh, this is okay. All people are created equal. It's okay. Suddenly. You even see it happening in public schools, too. And it's becoming more and more acceptable. Subtly. Our culture has gotten into our Christian because we haven't stayed in the Spirit in our lives. We haven't operated in the Spirit in our lives. So we're called to live by the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And Pastor's given us a couple of definitions about being in the Spirit. And that's doing something out of your spirit by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Not just in the four walls of the church. This is it. This is your everyday life. Yes. Yes. Everyday life. Amen. And it says you're more conscious of the spirit realm than you are of your natural realm. Not to say that because you are, you know, hit your neighbor real quick. I know you. Right. Yeah. You in the natural, right? All right. Now don't hit him back now. All right. Stay in the spirit. Okay. Not in the flesh. All right. Okay. You're in the natural. You're in the natural. Yes. It's still there, but you are more conscious of him, more conscious of his word, more conscious of his presence, of his promises, more than your situation, more than your problems, more than your body and how it hurts or maybe something like that, or your checkbook. You are focused on him. And I thought, you know what, it'd be interesting. You know, he just said, what if you just turned that around and looked at the definitions of the flesh? If you like a contrast, because if you can contrast something, and Pastor has said this before, and he says if you contrast, you know, the life of the flesh and the spirit, you can see some things and learn some things from it. So I just say, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, took me down this route. It's, you know, definitions of being in the flesh. Doing something out of your flesh by the prompting of your flesh. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on people's toes. I'm just saying. And, you know, by the promptings of your senses. Because that's how your flesh, you know, operates, by the senses. You know, what you see, you feel, you hear, your emotions, you know. You're more conscious of the natural realm than you are the spirit realm. More conscious of your problems, your flesh, what you don't have. You know, and this is how the Holy Ghost said to give, you know, because I want to make this, you know, where you can see how this is operates in, you know, in your natural life. OK, because we are to live by the Spirit. Okay, and I'm reaching towards everybody here, okay? Not just the front rows, I'm going to the back rows. I want the babies, I want the children, I want everybody to understand what the difference here. Okay? So he brought me over to Romans chapter 8. And I want you all to just, because this is one way that I want you all to see this. Praise the Lord, wow. Shoot that clock. I can see Pastor. Man, but here, so we're going to look at a few things here in this chapter. We're not going to read all of it, okay? And I don't know how much we're going to spend time on it. We'll see. But I need some help. Can I need some help? Okay. I need some audience participation, okay? Now, I apologize, this side of the room, y'all the flesh. They did it perfectly too. Perfectly. So, y'all the flesh, okay? When I give you a sickness, you say in the flesh. Or you can just say the flesh, okay? All right. Come over this side of the room. This side of the room, okay, y'all are the spirit. It's not saying anything's wrong with y'all. I'm just saying. It's just how it just. So for you all, you say, in the spirit.
In the spirit.
And for you, y'all are like, what are we going to do? Huh? What are we going to do? I don't know. I'm trying to find out myself. All right. But this center section right here, y'all got a very important. And the back people as well. All right. All the way back there for Brother Hoova back there. All right. Okay. You all, no offense, y'all, you know. What you all are going to say, I choose the spirit. Let's say that one more again. I choose the spirit.
I choose the spirit.
All right. Now, let's try this right here. Oh, come on. They were not in the spirit at all. They were in the flesh. Y'all gotta pay attention now. All right. Which is okay. I guess it's not exciting. Well, I guess for some it's exciting, you know, but you know, it's a short excitement to be in the flesh, you know. So I guess y'all are playing that role really great. I got the right people. Sweet, keep it going. All right. All right. So Romans 8. Romans 8, chapter 1, Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I love this verse. This is something I've been just learning. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, that's one thing that I'm working on. Condemnation. Yep. And I got some help for y'all with that one a little bit. We'll get that. But it's just some revelation that he told me where I just take and just shove it in the devil's mouth, you know. Just, you know. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But here it says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So here, if you are in condemnation, even if it's just a little bit. Oh, yeah. Even if you're just a little bit, you are in the flesh. You're in the flesh. But praise God, it says, if you are
in the Spirit,
there is no condemnation. So that means if you are looking at your body, what happened, what mistake you might have did, what your past, you, that means that you are more in the
Spirit
than you are in the
Spirit.
That's right. So, but if you want to, but if you, then your focus is on Him. Your focus is on.
Yeah.
Leanne, did you ever play Simon Says? But if you're focused more on the flesh, that means you're not in the spirit. Because your focus is more on yourself. Your mistakes, your past, what you should have did, could have did, would have did, would have done, whatever it may be. Uh-huh. Instead of your focusing on him. Your in the flesh brings you attention to your mistakes and you. And matter of fact, it makes you quiet. It makes you quiet. I mean, we think, oh, you know, I'm going to let my flesh just, you know, have its way. And what it does, it just makes you quiet and not have a voice anymore to speak over things in your life. Because you're focusing on yourself and the mistakes and things like that instead of what God is doing. And what he did, what Jesus did with his blood that gave you the right to say that there is no condemnation. Mm-hmm. Being in the spirit puts your attention on what Jesus did. Okay. And then, you know, when those thoughts of condemnation try to come up, you know what? You can, I'm going to show you what he told me. If you go, it's still in the same chapter. This is what he told me. I wasn't even thinking about condemnation, but I was in this chapter. And then I read this scripture. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. And it says, if you go to verse 29 there in chapter 8, it says, for whom he foreknew, he did also predestine to be conformed into the image of his son. Oh, okay. Those that he knew beforehand. Oh, okay. Images? Okay, I'm his image. I'm his image. Okay, that's what the word said. Yeah, okay. All right, I got you. Okay. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Oh, okay. I got a big bro right here. Okay, among many brethren. Okay, all right. And then he says, this is the one that verse 31 or 30 that helped me out. It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Whom he called, then he justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. So whenever that condemnation of that past, of what you did, of the mistakes you might have made, whenever that comes up, oh, I just take that scripture and just stuff it in the devil's mouth and say, you know what, devil? The word says that beforehand, before this even mattered, before this even happened, he predestined me. He had his eyes on me. And if he predestined me, he called me. If he called me, he justified me. If he justified me, he glorified me. Tell that devil to shut up and go. Got to get lippy with him sometime. Got to get lippy with him sometime. You can tell the devil shut up. That's okay. Just make sure you don't tell your mama to shut up. She may knock your mouth out. She may knock your teeth out. I'm just saying, you know, if you do that, you know. All right, so that was a little, you know, I don't know if that maybe is a blessing for you or something, but that helped me out. I'm just saying. All right, so if you're focused on yourself and you, then that means you know your attention's on you. Okay, in verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin of death." A lot of people want to be free from. People, I've heard people say, you know, I don't like organized religion. That's why you disorganized. I don't like organized religion either. But there's some organization in, you know, that needs to happen. But what they're trying to say is that I don't like rules. That's what they're trying to say. You see how they suddenly got that in there? They say, oh, I don't like organized religion. No, you just don't like rules. Yeah. You don't want to have anybody telling you how you should be, how you should operate your life successfully. You think you know it all. You think you know more than your mama and your dad. You think you know more than your pastor or the man that God put it or a woman that God put in there to speak it to your life. That's what you're really saying.
Come on. Go ahead.
So they say, oh, I want to be free from guidelines and standards and rules, you know. And, you know, it says here, hey, you know, that's right being in the flesh pretty much, you know. Okay. There was a youth night. I think you might have been there a few years back where we had no rules basketball. I think you might have been there too or so. I don't know. Do you remember that one? Yeah. Were you there already? Okay, I don't know if you are here yet, you know. Yeah, when it was uttered, like, okay. We'll see how long this goes, you know. I mean, so you had people, you know, elbowing people, clotheslining people, you know. That's like, no. Rules allow you to have fun.
Yes, they do.
Because if you got your teeth knocked out, you're not having fun anymore. Instead of following what you think is freedom of following no rules, you end up in bondage. But following the Spirit produces freedom. Let's just say that, praise the Lord, man. There's so much here, but let's just say that, you know, somebody says something the wrong way, whether it be on purpose or not, and your flesh rises up, and you decide to give a piece of yours because apparently they lost something of theirs. And you just need to feel it. And you end up going off on them. You might be justifiably so, right? You know, but it may not be what the Spirit says you need to do. And what you did suddenly by that one little door that you opened, you just allowed the enemy to come in and say, oh, it's okay to go off on somebody. It's okay to let my flesh go and just say whatever I want to say. However I want to say it, whenever I want to say it. There are many children today that are being raised that way. Now, the parents may say, oh, yeah, I take care of them. Oh, yeah, yeah, I tell them not to do that. Then why are they doing it in school? I'm just saying. We're gonna go through this pretty fast here. All right, in Romans 8, in verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin and condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if you are, they're doing a great job. Hey, y'all, you know, doing a great job. If you are in the flesh, then pretty much instead of being free, okay, and having the blessing of righteousness come upon you, you are pretty much giving yourself a sentence of guilt. Because in the Spirit, there's been a declaration, a sentence of righteousness that has come on you. Okay, and the verdict has been said that you have been declared righteous. I'm not focused on what I did. I'm focused on what Jesus did with the blood. What he did. And in verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. All right. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Hey, if you are in the flesh, you are pursuing the things of the flesh. Whatever feels good, I'm doing it. Oh, man, it really would feel. There are some times where it's like, I wish we can turn off the cameras at my school sometimes. I wish we could turn off the cameras, but that's my flesh. Don't act like y'all never had those kind of thoughts either. Y'all are y'all looking at me with y'all sanctimonious. Look at y'all, seriously. There's some times where you're like, man, I just, Lord, can you just turn off the tape recorders of heaven just for 5 seconds? Just for 5 seconds. That's all I need. You know, and you know, because your flesh wants to go this way, but it says if you pursue the flesh, hey, then you are going to follow those things of the flesh. But if you pursue the things of the Spirit, if you focus on the things of the Spirit and His Word and what He's saying, then you're going to pursue those things. Yeah. Colossians chapter 3 says, set your attention, set your affections on things above.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. Oh, my goodness. If you are in the flesh, you are bodily ruled, emotion trained, guided by your senses, which are your flesh. Did you hear what I said? You are, actually, I'll say this, fleshly minded, bodily ruled, emotionally trained, guided by your senses, which are from the flesh. I'm trying to make this practical of just, I know he's got more in his heart, but this is how what the Holy Ghost is saying. Just to make it where it's clear, the being in the flesh and in the spirit. Okay? It's you are being more aware of Him, more aware of His healing power and not your ailment in your body. More aware of what the Word says about that He looked ahead and provided for you instead of what does your checkbook say? And you follow the prompting of the Holy Ghost of what He says to do. And it's something of which it does require practice. And I know some of you sometimes, man, you're like, man, they do a great job of this, you know. Man, I wish I can have what they do, whatever. You know, the reason why they got good is because they practice. Not a game, practice. Practice. They practiced it. Okay? And it's okay to practice. All right? And when you practice, you get better. You get better of hearing the Spirit, hearing His promptings, and hearing what to do, and how to do, and how to say, and how to operate, how to be more efficient. It can be just something simple of like, you know, to tweak of what you need to do in your day. Like, you know, for us, there's some things just something simple like this, you know, because we're trying to figure out how do we get more efficient with like lunches. And one day, this is just flowing the Holy Ghost. I think Micah just started putting bread in bags. And, you know, your flesh like, what are you doing, Micah? Stop. You're wasting stuff. What are you doing? You know, no, but then we're like, wait a minute. Oh, we can be efficient and have the bread already ready in the bag for the week for the sandwiches. So instead of doing this daily of putting lunches together, we can have it all ready to go, you know, because it's already there. Just something simple. Doesn't have to be like, you know, hallelujah. No, no. Pastor Debbie does it better than that. But it doesn't have to be, you know, something spectacular. It's just something simple of what the Holy Ghost, because you're led by that inner witness. That's why you look towards here and not towards here. You ever notice when worry or stuff starts to come, which you start rubbing? Well, oh man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, and you wonder where all my hair went. No, I cut mine off, okay? I'm just letting you know, all right? In verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law. Neither can it be, indeed be. In the Amplified, it says, in the flesh, you are hostile to God. But if you are spiritually minded, you are not an enemy, but you are a co-laborer with Christ. You got the MVP on your team. You got your big, you got your daddy right there. Somebody comes up on your, you know, and you're like, I got my father right here, right with me, because I am minded of him. And it takes practice to do that. It takes practice. In the spirit, you are co-laborers. You're on the same team. There's no arguing, no battling. In the Amplified, it says, because the mind of the flesh, it's with its carnal thoughts and purposes, are hostile to God. They don't submit to his law. It can't. It can't. That's what another translation says. It doesn't submit to God's law. It can't. It can't. In verse 8, it says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You ever get to the point where like, man, I wish you want to please him, but you feel like empty, like you're missing it. Well, that's because you're in the flesh. You're in the flesh. You're looking to it by your own means. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. You got to do it out of your own spirit. You do it by the spirit, by the prompting of the spirit. And this is a subtle thing that culture says. It says that culture says, hey, if I get a contract, a recording contract, that's when I'm going to please God. Matter of fact, this was going on back in the 60s. We saw Motown Museum a little bit, which I like Motown, you know, Detroit, you know. So I do listen to some Motown. But there are a lot of singers that came out of the church that were in, they became famous in Motown. And talking to one of the officials there at the Motown Museum, they're saying, you know what, that really hurt the black church then. They didn't realize that. They didn't realize the effect that they had. And you still see it today. How many people on American Idol or Voice? Whatever, I don't know all the shows they got. They got umpteen different types of singing shows out there. But how many people do you hear on there and you know that they had a calling to offer their gift for their local church and their family, helping out their man and woman of God, ushering the spirit and set people free. But yet we're so looking into, oh, let me please my flesh and get a nice paycheck. In the spirit, in verse 14, it says, for many are led by the spirit. They're the sons of God. In verse 15, it says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Hey, in the spirit, you're not in fear. No longer in fear. But also in verse 16, the spirit itself bears witness that we are his children. Amen. Ha, the spirit that tells us that we are his children. Amen. We are his children. We are accepted in the beloved. His spirit tells us that. Yeah. I am accepted. Yeah. When your boss says you are laid off, you say, you know what? Praise the Lord. I'm accepted. And because I'm accepted by my Father, he looked ahead and provided, and I got something. I have something already set in store for me already.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to wrap this up very quickly in the next few minutes or so, because I know some of y'all looking at y'all watches. In the spirit shows us, as it said there at the end of that, in verse 17, that we are his children. It shows us our rightful place. In the spirit shows us what we have access to. In the spirit, it shows us that we have access to that table that's been set for us. Because in the flesh, you can't see that. When you're focused on what's going on around you, how it feels, it's hard to, it's hard to actually see that God is your deliverer, that he is your savior, because you're more focused on you. You're more focused on you. But when you focus on him, when those thoughts may come, you got something in your mouth that you can say because you know what you've been, what you had your attention on, and you know what the word says. See, it says we are heirs, and if heirs, we are joint heirs. I don't know if y'all realize that. We are heirs, but we are joint heirs. We are joint heirs. So everything that Jesus did, everything that he walked in, everything that, you know, as he spoke to fig trees, as he spoke to storms, winds and waves, as he spoke to dead men, spoke to fevers, you know, you can do the same thing. But it's done by the Spirit, by focusing on the Spirit, having your mind on the Spirit, having, and here's the thing, here's the reason why I set this up this way, okay, where you have the flesh is dead over here, all right, and you have the, because you have, because here's the thing, you got the flesh right here and you got the Spirit right here. Okay. And then you got that noodle, you know, your mind right here in the middle. Okay, y'all the noodles, right? No. I don't know, wet, crunchy, I don't know. What are those, the Chinese, I don't know what those noodles are, whatever. But those noodles that come in the can, what are those? Spaghettios. Spaghettios, that's disgusting, okay. All right. Okay. All right. So I think we just got in the flesh a little bit. But all right. So, but here you got the flesh here. You got the Spirit right there. Because that mind is right there trying to figure out, okay, which way do I go? Which way do I go? Which way do I go? And in the midst of two or three, okay, things are established. So if you got one right here, the Spirit, and you got your body and your mind right here, all you need is one other person, one other thing, one other entity to join in, and you have established it already. So if you have your focus on always on flesh things, on, you know, what I want to do, you know, how I feel, it's all about me. Guess where your mind is going to lean towards? The flesh. But if your gaze is set upon him, if your affections are set towards him, about what he did, about all the promises that he has, about how he has delegated you the authority as a believer to use the name of Jesus, about what the blood of Jesus did to give you access to come boldly to the getting place, to take part of what's on that table, to take part of that at that throne room, that table that was set before you, guess where your mind is going to focus on?
The Spirit.
So what do you all choose?
Spirit.
I love how the Bible, he gave us an answer already. He said, which way are you going to choose? You going to choose life or death? Life. Which one y'all going to choose, y'all?
Life.
Which one you going to choose?
Life.
You going to choose what?
Life.
Choose what?
Life.
Life in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit, in all aspects of your life. Now, here's the reason. Here's the reason, okay? If you say, like, what if? Let's just say Moses. Let's say what if he, you know, because he did follow his flesh. You know, he did follow his flesh. He made a mistake. He thought, you know what? The best way to do this is I kill that Egyptian. That's how I'm going to lead out. That's how I'm going to take care of my, you know, my people. I'm going to kill them. Or not kill them, but kill the Egyptian, you know. Okay. That's what he said. He was led by the flesh. By, you know, because, you know, in your own mind, you're thinking, I'm going to do it my way. No. He says, you know what? Because we don't fight with these natural weapons here. Our weapons are not carnal.
They're not.
No. So let's just say that, you know, he didn't, or I should say this. Let's say he stayed in the flesh in condemnation. The question would be, and I don't know, this is something you have to ask, we'll have to ask Jesus or God, you know, how, you know, what if Moses didn't do that? What would happen with Israel? Would we have ever seen, it might have came in the past, I don't know, but, you know, how would that revelation of that God is a way maker, where he can split the Red Sea and provide, and made the wet dry, how would we have that revelation? How would that come? How would the revelation of that he is, I am, come? What would happen if he didn't do that? What would have happened if Joshua and Caleb got so offended at those spies that came back and all those people, you know, that took that report hook, line, and sinker, said, you know, they're so big. And what would happen with Joshua and Caleb if they said, you know what, forget this. Forget all y'all people, you know. Will we be able to see how faithful God is to his word that he watches over to perform it? And 40 years later, we saw Joshua and Caleb enter into that Canaan's land. Just as strong. Just as strong. Oh, that's something right there. What if Abraham, let's say, you know, after he finally had Isaac as his son, and God says, you know what, I want you to give him as an offering. What if Abraham said, God, you crazy. I just got a son right here. You asked me to do this. No, no. What if he went after, what if he followed his flesh that way? Would we ever see, or when would it come? I don't know. I'm just, you know. But that revelation of Jehovah Jireh, that he's our provider. Let's take this home here. Let's say Brother Hagin got so consumed with his flesh and how he was dying. And he sat on his deathbed crying day and night. What if he did that? How much would the body of Christ not have received some of the revelations that he gave? Let's take it even further. Let's just say Pastor Jay, driving through the country of Iowa, that godforsaken place. Let's just say that he followed his flesh and said, you know what? This is place is godforsaken. I'm going to keep on rolling in my powder blue. I don't know what he was driving that day. Let's just say that he kept driving. Where would we be? If somebody, let's just say somebody followed the flesh and didn't follow the spirit, where would you be? It's important that we live in this day, that we live in the spirit and by the spirit. Not only does it affect your life, but other lives depend on it. There's much revelation in the Bible that where people could have got offended. People got stoned, you know, almost to death. I like it how in Acts chapter 16, I believe, where Paul and Silas, they were in Philippi, and they were thrown into jail. They could have got offended. But you know what? They sang praises. They prayed and sang praises. Their attention was on him. And out of that, they saved the jailer's life. And you know what? I was reading this, and I'm like, oh, I never saw this before. But I don't know if you realize this is the church of Philippi, the Philippian church. This is the beginning of the Philippian church. He saved that jailer. Saved his life because he would have been in trouble. If you know. And he saved him, saved his family. Went back to the jail, because I guess assumed that, because they went to the house, I guess, and got them saved. But went back to the jail, and then they released them properly. That's something about, you know, walking by the Spirit. To go back in the jail that was opened supernaturally and not have any fear about it. So they went back, and then they released, and then they went back, and they did more ministry there. There we have the Philippian church. Would we ever have that, the revelation of that in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ? Or in 4:19, where it says that he shall supply every one of my needs. They didn't get in the flesh. They stayed in the spirit. It is important. It is important that we live by the Spirit and operate by the Spirit, out of the prompting of the Spirit, because lives depend on it.
That's right.
Lives depend on it. Okay, and it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, hey, when you operate by the Spirit, not only will other people be blessed, you'll be blessed as well. Because it'll show you what you have access to, like a searchlight. It'll show you in 1 Corinthians. Actually, let's just go through. I'm going to just read this real quick. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ears heard, so not by the flesh, that neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. Hey, it's prepared for you. You see it by the Spirit. But God has revealed to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches things, yea, the deep things of God. We access it by the Spirit. You get access to that love, that joy, that peace, that prosperity, that healing. Those angels that work on your behalf because it's part of your inheritance, that favor, that protection. You get access to those things by operating and living by the Spirit. But it comes by spending much time in his presence. It comes by spending much time in his presence. So we are to live by the Spirit. Okay? And I'm going to stop there. Yeah. I'm going to be honorable to your time. And but I'm just reminded that, the biggest thing that I want you all to get from this today is that in order to be an impactful in this world, it has to be done by the Spirit. Because your mind, your flesh, your emotions wants to go a certain way, but the Spirit says, go this way. The Spirit says, do this, do that. There's some things that are just like mind-blowing where, I work with somebody and I'm like, Lord, we shouldn't go this way. My flesh is like, this is going to go out. This is going to go wrong. This is going to go wrong. This is going to go wrong. And the Spirit says, no. Okay, this is a true story, okay? The Spirit says, no, your boss is no more. Your boss is no more. Your principal is no more. So I'm like, okay, Father, this is just following the Spirit. Because my flesh is like, I don't want to do this to this girl. But no, he says, no, your principle is no more. You follow what the direction is. That's just being in the Spirit. What the Spirit said, just something simple, and just do it. And praise God, when we had a meeting, it was like perfect. It was perfect. That was only if of following the Spirit. Living by the Spirit every day in all aspects of your life. That's the way we are to live. So praise God. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Spirit had in my heart. There's much more I could have done, but I want to be honorable to the time. It's just such an honor to be before you all. And actually, it's an honor to be laborers together, stand side by side. It is so important to be connected right to the right pastors, but also the right family. There are some things that we've been kept from in our family because of being protected. And there's some things that later stores can tell, but not now is not the time. But I'll tell you what, it's only by the grace of God. Only by being connected properly in the right place that we were able to keep moving and not skip a beat. So I'm just so grateful to be a part of this family. This is my church home. So praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it is about that time. The services have started. And I encourage you all, go watch the services. I have to get caught up on last night's, so, but go watch the services. Receive, take it in. Because the impartations that they're getting, you can get as well. And it's so important It's so important for where we're going. It's so important for where we're going, especially at this new year. It is a new day. And in order to operate in the easy flow, it's done in the Spirit. It's done in the Spirit every day. And practice it. Practice it. Practice what the Word says. Practice it. We had a vacation a little bit. Holy Ghost said, I want you to spend time meditating on, prosperity scriptures. You know, so I was reading Pastor Nancy's I Have a Supply, and just, you know, going over some things that are in there and just, you know, following the promptings of the Spirit there. And just supernaturally. Yeah. I mean, and this is something we commissioned our angels before we left as well. And we just said, you know what? We just, you know, followed the promptings. And I tell you what, and it was a time where we could have been in the flesh, where we had some issues with our rental car. That's a story, you know. But we got something better for a cheaper price at a different location. Instead of getting frustrated and mad because y'all are telling two different stories. And got a rental car was paid for. Got home, went bowling, paid for. We were ready to pay, you know. Went out to eat, out of the blue. A guy just came over. We had no idea who he was. He just said, you know, and all of us are ready to pay. The waitress came over and said, hey, somebody picked up your tab. Yeah. There's 14 people in our party. Yeah. We're like, what? And we ordered what we wanted, too. This is not like a cheap burger joint. This is, it's like Angus and Bison burgers there as well. You know, there's some nice things there. I could have gotten in my head before, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? No, the Holy Ghost said, meditate on my word. Focus on my word. Went out to eat again at a nice dinner, at a nice place, nice soul food place. Ooh, mm-hmm. We ate what we wanted to eat. Sure did. Watched every bit of it in my mouth. We were about to pay for it. Couldn't pay for it. What? Just simple things. You may get a prompting about what you need to do with your body. You may get a prompting what you need to do, you know, with this family member or how to raise your child. You may be having some issues about your marriage, and he may give you a simple prompting. Focus on this. Focus on this. Just do it. Just practice it. Practice it. Praise God. Hallelujah.